That's beautiful. Do you think that this is that it's more prevalent in Western, or let's just say the American culture being so kind of self-focused, that that some people are afraid to die because they're going to lose their sense of self?
Since you asked, coming from Europe, my impression has been, well, let's just say, in the family of nations, the United States is thought of as the teenager in the family.
Absolutely. Very materialistic, mm-hmm. very connected to their things, right?
In a way, but also just getting into the prime of life, full of exuberant energy. I've had people here, we traipsed through the Lewis and Clark Museum, and they're astounded. In 200 years, you conquered, you explored this continent, you settled this continent, you strung wires, you strung railroad tracks, now satellites. How did you do it in 200 years?
Americans take it for granted.
Physically, yes. Very a lot of the energy. There's a lot of physical energy here that is deemed, anybody in their 20s doesn't want to think about what it's going to be like when they're 70, but we haven't learned yet to appreciate the wisdom of the elders.
Interesting. Wow.
That's a very good point. You know, it's in the Native American cultures and in Asian cultures and a lot of other cultures around mm-hmm. the world, they value the wisdom of the ages, mm-hmm. I mean the elders. And when I was growing up, we did as well at home. Dr. Ann Graber, who is on our show today, really is the reason the movie happened in its current form. And she doesn't want to take credit for that or anything else, but I know for sure that that's a fact. Alexander Vesely, who's the director of the film, was studying under Dr. Graber for his logotherapy credential, the Viktor Frankl Institute. And as part of his studies and his thesis, she suggested, I won't say convinced, but suggested that he produce a film using some of the archive materials. So the idea came from her. She has supported us. I even get a happy birthday card for when Noetic Film's birthday rolls around every February 16th from Dr. Graber, and she's a constant source of light and support to Noetic Films. Wow. And with that, I wanted to tell you all that you can still order the movie. We are not releasing it yet on Amazon, but you can get it on our website, which is www.victorandimovie.com. Okay, let's continue on, ladies. Cynthia. Yeah.
Wow. So you also were going to talk a little bit about her book, I believe. Or no, not the book, about the new program.
Yeah, Dr.
Yes.
Is going
to- Mary, sorry to interrupt, but I would like you to know and your audience to know that it was the movie Victor and I that was the impetus for opening for this new initiative at the Graduate Theological Foundation, which is called the Graduate Center for Pastoral Logotherapy.
Wow.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I know you and I talked about it, but I almost forget sometimes of all the things that are going on. That's important information.
So tell us about this.
Strongly felt at the Graduate Theological Foundation that there is no better counseling theory available for people who include the spiritual dimension in their counseling than Viktor Frankl's logotherapy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what do you think that logotherapy offers that other therapeutic approaches don't offer?
Simply because it's three-dimensional. It includes body, mind, and spirit. Now, absolutely. In the early days, when I would talk to clinicians, what does Frankl mean by spirit? Well, that's religion. No, it's not. It's the menschliche Geist, the core of our personality.
Right.
And those people who attend the dying, the sick, in palliative care, in who are doing psycho-spiritual counseling, I don't know that there is a better system around anywhere.
You know, that's a really good, and as you know, in psychotherapy circles now, spirituality is a big deal. You know, where maybe it wasn't accepted. Yeah, maybe it wasn't accepted before. Now it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so many people get Dr. Frankl's work confused with the religious theory because of its name. And unfortunately, that's been used for both good and bad in some ways in terms of helping his theory move along the academic circles, don't you think, Dr. Graber?
Yes, but we are reaching a point in human consciousness. Now, we're in the we just acquired the Louisiana Purchase. Now we're exploring it. We are in a time of spiritual synthesis. We're at a time when we have to recognize that religions are supportive of the growth of our spiritual development instead of being central. They are supportive. When we, as we develop a deeper, higher, greater inner connection to the source, then we can accept the spirituality of others.
Mm. Why do you think that this message is so pertinent now? Why do you think now is the time that this message is coming forth for you?
You know, I waited a long time. I really felt when I finally came to and understood what's what and who's who and what's mine to do still, I strongly felt someday I will have to talk about death is not to be feared.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it would have to wait a generation. But now you hear it. At the 25th, and as the 25th anniversary of my crash approached, I had this inner mandate to get this book out. Get this book written, get this book out. I did. And gave away lots of copies to friends, family, everybody and anybody who supported me in my recovery, such as it is. But now to have a forum to openly talk about it on the radio is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I only consented to be a still point.
And now you're a flashlight.
Now you're a radio star.
Stardom is not in my CV. But anyway, we talked about spiritual synthesizing. What I also came back with very strongly, that each of us is a part in the symphony of life. And the orchestra of planet Earth is practicing its hymn to the universe.
I like that.
There are still discordant notes to be heard, but as we get more attuned to each other, we will be more attuned to the conductor. Mm. And that's what I mean by a personal connection to the conductor. And then, of course, I want to be in harmony with everyone else to produce this glorious sound, which will be the hymn to the universe played by planet Earth people.
You know, I think one of the most important things you said to me about this, Dr. Graber, was that this experience, if nothing else, turned your faith into trust.
Into trust and also into a knowing. Those of us who have a religious belief system, a faith, when we have this inner knowing, oh, yes, that's what they tried to teach me, but I didn't get it. Now I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why do you think some people kind of have that inner knowing and some people don't?
They haven't. Okay, if we think of the planet Earth as being a school, I like that analogy. We're not all in the same grade.
Good point.
Good point.
And you don't go in and teach first graders geometry, analytical geometry at least. They're too busy learning their 1, 2, 3s and ABCs.
Okay.
And so their plenty of growth opportunities for all of us.
So do you feel like everyone makes it to graduate school in that world, or am I stretching the analogy?
Okay, I think everyone makes it to graduate school on the continuum of consciousness.
Okay.
I also don't think we arrive here having packed all we're capable of. We only bring with us what we need for this trip.
You know, there's a poem that by Victor Hugo that I think you wanted to share with our audience. We're about 3 minutes to the end of our show, and I don't want to run out of time. Would you mind sharing that with us now? I think it would be a good time.
Wonderful. Victor Hugo addresses the end of life, and this is what he says. I feel in myself the future life. I am rising, I know, toward the sky. The sunshine is over my head. The earth gives me its generous sap. But heaven lights me with a reflection of unknown worlds. You see, the soul is nothing but the resultant of bodily powers. Why, then, is my soul the more luminous when my bodily powers begin to fail? When I go down to the grave, I can say, like so many others, I have finished my day's work, but I cannot say I have finished my life. My day's work will begin again the next morning. The tomb is not a blind alley. It is a thoroughfare. It closes in the twilight to open with the dawn. Victor Hugo.
Wow, that's beautiful. I love it. And can you give our audience on closing, I'm sorry we're running out of time, but it's just the nature of the clock. If you could tell them one closing thought, one important point to remember, what would that be?
Play your note. Practice your note in the symphony of life to the best of your ability. Live a meaningful life. Develop your character growth. That is the most anyone can do, and that will be ultimately what you will be accountable for.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Graber, for coming on board and talking to our audience around this very important and very touching issue. You've done such a great service for the listeners around the world today, and I can't thank you enough. And Cynthia, thank you being my co-host. You're always wonderful.
Oh, well, man, this has just been an amazing, amazing topic, and I hope that everyone around the world will take a minute, take an hour, take some amount of time, and really consider where are they in life right now, mm-hmm. and what mm-hmm. could they do to maybe change what they're doing right now so that the character issues and all that Dr. Graber has talked about, that in the end, they will be happy with what they did in their life.
That's a good point, too. You can listen to the replay again in about an hour. There's so much on here. Thank you, Dr. Graber. Thank you, Cynthia. We'll be back next week. Join us on TalkSense Radio next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Being a part of TalkSense Radio, the meaning connection on TogiNet.com with your host, Mary Simaluka, and frequent contributor, Alexander Vetter. Contributor, Alexander Vetter.